Open your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Again, it is good to be here this morning. And really, you pray for me this morning as I just try to do what the Lord would have us to do. 2 Timothy chapter 1. When you come to your place, if you'll stand this morning, if you can, I'm just going to read about five verses here, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also you may be seated. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, God, we thank you as it's been prayed this morning for this beautiful day you've given us. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come to your house of worship this morning. Father, we thank you, God, for touching us already through the service, through the songs, and through the Sunday school this morning. God, I just pray that as we go into this preaching time, God, that, Lord, we just lift you up on high. You said, if I'd be high and lifted up, I'll draw them in unto me. And Father, I thank you, God, for each and every one that's here. Lord, you know each heart. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you touch each heart, God, according to your will here this morning. And Father, help me, God, clear my mind, loosen my tongue. Help me as a dying man preach to a dying people, Lord, and that we'd listen to your word and that still small voice as it speaks to our heart this day. Lord, if there's one here discouraged, I pray, God, encourage them this morning. If there's one here that's lost, God, I pray that you just draw them, woo them with the Holy Spirit this day. And God, save them before it's ever too late. Lord, I thank you again for this church, what it has meant to me and my family through the years. And God, I thank you for this dear pastor, Brother Nguyen. Lord, I pray, God, that you continue to bless him, Lord, in his ministry here at this church. Lord, his radio, all that he does for your honor and for your glory. God, we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. I began to read this week and study, and God touched my heart on this. I know many might be wondering, how in the world are you going to preach out of these five verses? But there's a lot of truth packed into these five verses. Amen? And there's a lot of truth in God's Word, period, if we'll just read it. You can read one verse, and there's enough truth in one verse of the Bible to change the whole world if we just allow it to sink in and affect our hearts. But as I study the Bible, I've often said that I believe that the Apostle Paul is no doubt one of the greatest Christians of all time. His conversion, amen, there on that Damascus Road led to an immediate desire that to do the will of God when he answered there in the book of Acts, Lord, what will thou have me to do? How many of us today are really willing to do what the Lord would have us to do? Amen? I began to think about this in sense of we live in a day, Brother Nguyen, when there's so many shallow conversions being made in America. Amen? Are you with me this morning? You see, people everywhere, especially here in the Bible Belt, they hear the Scripture, they make a profession of faith in Christ, and then they continue along in their merry way with little or absolute no change in their life. I begin to wonder about those conversions, because you cannot tell me that something as big as God gets in something as little as us, it's going to change us somewhere. Amen? I know we make mistakes. I know we stumble and fall. But Paul was a true example of what it was to be converted, to be a changed man, to have a change in direction. We also know we're living in the days of the Laodicean Christianity, when sanctification has become a dirty word in our churches. God forbid that a preacher preach on justification, sanctification, separation. We don't want that in our pulpits today. You see, soul winning today has just become a thing of the past. Faithfulness to the house of God. All of these things, they are things that are lacking in today's realm of Christianity. We're living in the days of shallow pulpits. Amen, preacher. Shallow pulpits that preachers that pick and choose their own subject matter. And I want to tell you, if you preach long enough, you're going to preach on a lot of subjects. It's going to hurt a lot of feelings when you preach from Genesis to Revelation. But there's a lot of preachers today that pick and choose their messages so that they won't lose their pulpit, so that they'll be popular in the eye of the people. But I tell you, we're hurting today. God's people are hurting all across this land. You see, there's so much going on, and so many preachers today that are promoting worldliness within the church and the lives of God's people. It's hard to tell a church from Walmart. Amen. I'm just giving you this by way of introduction. We ain't even close to the message. You see, when the Lord asked about the lack of faith to be found over in Luke, I think, 18 and 8, he speaks about the lack of faith that will be found when he returns. I begin to think about today in our churches and God's people. You see, he perfectly described America. He perfectly described his people today because we don't have much faith. Amen? We don't have a lot of faith. I believe the faith which is so evidently missing is the faith that is mentioned in verse number 5 of the text that we read this morning. Paul, as we're looking, as it was taught in school there, Brother Forbes, I believe it was, said that we're looking over the shoulder of Timothy as we read these letters that Paul had written. And he writes to him and he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. This word unfeigned is an interesting word in Webster's 1828 dictionary. It means not counterfeit, sincere, not hypocritical. A faith that is not counterfeit. And I began to think about this, and I began to think about the book of James, and it gives a biblical description of such faith when James said, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. He said, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, Paul also dealt with the era of salvation being a non-producer of works in the book of Ephesians when he said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, when we look at this, young Timothy actually got the real salvation. Young Timothy actually got what Paul was speaking about here. Young Timothy had something that changed his life. And young Timothy, just like Paul, was changing people as he everywhere he went and everything that he talked about because he really had unfeigned faith. So many today talk about wanting to do something for God. But how many of us really do it? I'm not talking about salvation by works. But God did not save one person in this church to fill a pew and suck up air. Amen. Amen. God called you to employ you. He saved you. Now that you've been saved, you are not your own. You are now His. Amen. To go out into a lost and dying world and tell someone to be a witness for Him. You may not be a preacher. You may not be a missionary. And you may not even get out and hand out gospel tracts. But Brother Dale, people are watching us every day. And our faith in Christ is showing forth, maybe not so much in words, but in action and in deeds that we do. How much faith, you know, when you have troubles and trials, you know, a true Christian, you can see a lot of their faith when troubles and trials comes into their life. Amen? And people are watching us. People are listening to us. When we say, "Hey, did you go to church this morning, this Sunday? How was your church service?" They know we're Christians, but when troubles and trials come, they're going to watch you and see how you react. They're going to see how the God that you believe in, how much faith do you really have in Him when you found out you got cancer? When you found out that your child has gone astray. You see, we all say we've got faith, but do we really have that unfeigned, that non-hypocritical, that of faith that Paul is speaking about to Timothy? I believe this morning we need that faith, amen? I believe that with all my heart. You see, as I begin to think about this, I want to preach this morning just on a few things about this unfeigned faith that we find in these five verses. First of all, we see this unfeigned face endearment. Look at verse number 2. The Bible said to Timothy, "My dearly beloved son." Here we find the Apostle Paul and his love and appreciation for a young man whom he called over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 2, my son in the faith. Paul knew, he saw something in Timothy. He saw something that was different. This was one that not only followed the faith of his family, but also the faith of this apostle to do the will of God. There's nothing more in my mind, no doubt, that excites Brother Wynn than to see these young preachers come up and see their zeal, and see their faith grow, and see them follow in the things that he has preached throughout the years. And not just the young preachers, but I'm talking about all that are sitting here. There's nothing more that would excite him to see every one of you exercise that faith that he preaches about. Amen? Stirs his heart. That encourages him. Amen? That people are listening. That it's changing their lives. That it's making a difference, Brother Dale. There's nothing that would destroy a pastor any more than to get up and preach Sunday after Sunday and see his people go astray, see his people not have the faith that he's preached about, the faith that he's tried to exercise before them. There's nothing that would probably destroy his heart and his spirit more than that. The devil will take that and try to beat him down, get him to a place of discouragement, a place that he's lost the power of power of God in his life. But Paul saw something in Timothy. He saw Timothy exercising this faith that he was taught him and had been preaching to him. It wasn't just faith in the Paul, but he saw that Timothy had faith in the Word of God, that Timothy not only heard him preach, but believed what he was preaching from the Word of God. Do you believe this is God's Word? If we believe that this is God's Word, we ought to live by it. We ought to exercise more faith in it. Amen. You see, I've had my ups and downs as of late. And my faith has been truly tested. That faith that I've preached about and I've praised God about has been so tested as of late. God, why does this happen to me? The old devil tries to get in, but, you know, I get in his word and I put faith in it, Dale, that he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I don't understand what's happened to me lately, but I know God's in control. All I can do is just move forward. I can't look back. I'm putting my hand in his hand. God, no matter what tomorrow holds, I know you're there. You've worked it out. My faith is in you because you've gave me that in your word. But we all too often give up, amen? We give up. Timothy had that faith, and Paul saw that, and he was writing to him to encourage him here. You see, here was a man that followed the footsteps of this great man, Paul. And one day, Timothy, he would carry that blood-stained banner when Paul's lips lay silent in the grave, Timothy would be the one carrying that banner. There's nothing more, Brother Wynn, than we know many of old pastor that's gone on, Brother Carl, Brother Art Greer. I believe they'd be proud of the bloodstained banner and hats being waved today, these young men that's been called, that's keeping the faith win. Too many's given up today. Too many's turning, going to the world. These old men that's preached in this pulpit, you all know who I'm talking about. There's a lot of old men have preached and waved that banner on high. And young men like myself and Brother Wynn and Brother Bill and all the young preachers have said under it and heard it. It's made a difference in our life. I believe they'd be proud to see that there's still a remnant left that loves God, that's got faith in His Word, that's got faith to walk in the old paths of God's Word. Unfeigned, unhypocritical faith. It's easy to say you're one thing, but living it's another. Amen? Living it's another. Am I hurting anybody's feelings this morning? If I am, you get over it. Are you with me? I love you in the Lord this morning. And I believe God's people need to exercise that unfeigned faith. See more blessings of God in their lives and in their children's lives. Our children's watching us. Our children's watching us today. I'm going to stop right here. I'm a little ahead of schedule. Amen. I might get done by 12 o'clock. I ain't going to make no promises. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Not too long ago, about a month and 2 weeks ago, we had some trouble at church. And I was pastoring. And see, I believe God's Word to be what it is. And I'm going to preach it. Amen. So I preached it, Brother Wynn. And I mentioned compromise. You know, there's a lot of compromise in this world today. Well, apparently some of the compromise I was preaching on was hitting pretty close to home to some deacons. Next Sunday, they called a meeting with me. And I was asked basically to stop preaching on those things. I don't compromise for my wife and my son. I'm not going to compromise for them. Amen. I'm going to stand on what God said. Amen? Amen. I'm going to say, see, I believe my faith was tested. I don't understand it. I love those folks. But I'm putting my faith in it. To go on down the road. God's got something down the road for me. I've preached more since I left down there than I preached while I was there, Brother Wynn. I don't understand it. But my faith was tested because when I left, I thought, man, what has happened here? What just happened here? See, it can happen that quick. I went to church that morning with no idea that I would leave that day without a church as a pastor. My wife and my son had no idea. His friends, we had to leave down there. I love them. I still call and check on some of them. But that's how quick the devil can get involved. Your faith can be tested. You'll either stand for what you really think that book and what you believe, or you won't. You'll either be found a hypocrite or a compromiser, or you won't. You'll have unfeigned faith and walk for God. It'll be good in the end. Amen? If I never preach again, it's been good. I've seen God work wonders in people's lives. I'm still going to put my faith in Him. I'm settled in that, Sister Mary. I'm settled in that. You see, not only do we see that endowment of that unfeigned faith, but we also see, we see the endearment, but now let's look at the endowment in verse number 2. He said to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God. Here we see a promise. A promise. What was that promise? A promise there in that first verse to Timothy, my dear beloved son, grace. Grace for what? Grace to endure. We need grace to endure in these troubled times. Amen? God's grace. There's only one thing that will get us through, and it is the grace of God. As I've already said, I don't understand. I can preach about me. I don't really know you in your life, but I'm sure you've got troubles and trials just like anybody. But God will give you the grace to endure. Maybe you've got a wayward child. Maybe you've got an issue going on in the family. Maybe you've got something going on at work. Maybe it's economical. I don't know. But God will give you the grace to endure it if you'll just turn to Him. Put your faith in Him that whatever's going on in your life, God's in control. See, that's the problem I think that we can draw a line in. We don't like it when somebody else is in control. When we get thrown out of that seat, Brother Wynn, and we don't really have the holds of the handlebars. See, I found out my sons are driving. Scares me to death. God bless you people that have raised your youngins. He drives good. I've got no problem with that. But we had a revival out in Paducah, Kentucky 2 weeks ago, so I let him drive most of the way. So I set the GPS where you could... They got a little this fancy little speedometer thing on there you can watch. Well, I reckon he'd just see how far he could make that thing go. I wasn't in control. We were on a busy interstate, and that thing's a pegging out nearly 90 miles an hour. Now, I don't know about you all, but that's out of my control, and I didn't like it. Slow down, son. Let me drive. See, that's the way we are in life. We want to be in control. Sitting over in that passenger seat alone for the ride, I wasn't in control. And that's the way life is. We're just sitting in the passenger seat, really. As a child of God, God's driving, amen? We just need to put our faith and trust in Him that whatever comes our way, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. Am I doing all right so far? Afraid to ask anymore. Grace to endure. But then he says, mercy. Mercy for what? Mercy in fault and in failure. I thank God for mercy. I'm glad that when justice called, mercy answered in Dwayne Tester's life. Amen? And it just wasn't in 1979 when I left the end of this little pew and Barney Arnett was sitting here beside me and I got down there. It just wasn't then, Brother Dale. I've needed mercy every day since. I don't know about you, but I'm still wrapped in a robe of old carnal, sinful flesh. Amen. God saved my soul. He didn't save my flesh. And it's a battle every day. So some of you super Christians out here, you tell me how you do it. But it's a battle. My soul hates my flesh, and my flesh hates my soul. And sometimes my flesh overdoes my soul. Amen? I mess up, Brother Dwight. I mess up. But I'm glad the ground is still level at the foot of the cross. I'm glad I can still go and get on my knees to my holy, righteous Father, and I can ask Him to forgive me, and I can rest assured He will forgive me. Amen? I believe that. I'm talking about truly repent and confess your sin. I'm not just talking about repentance that don't mean nothing. We could preach right there a while. Amen. We could run with that a while. A lot of people today confessing their sins and wanting to repent of them, but there's no change. Repent means to turn, a change of mind. Amen. So, listen, we need peace. Peace as well. We've got grace to endure, mercy in fault and failure, and a peace of God that passeth all understanding. Peace of God that passeth all understanding. Paul said, look, I know what that peace is. I know what it is to endure affliction. I know what it is to want mercy from God. You know, in Paul, all of Paul's life, Paul decreased instead of increased. You study it out all the time that he spoke of himself. He always increased. And Brother Wynn, I believe that he constantly asked for mercy from God. He had a thorn in his flesh. He had problems just like you and I. But Paul knew in whom he could trust and where his peace and comfort came from. Paul knew that God was there and that God gave that true peace. There's some here today that needs that peace. You've got troubles and trials in your home, maybe in your marriage, and you've just not experienced that peace in a long time. Boy, you can get it today. You can get it today. You can come and God can renew you here today with that peace which passes all understanding. I can't explain it, amen? I can't explain why God gives that peace the way He does, but I just know He does. You and I have the same promise that Paul was speaking of here to Timothy. You see, Paul, God stood with Paul through all things, and that's why Paul could actually say, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You got a problem? Let the Lord stand with you. We can take that promise today. In our day, as we are defamed and ridiculed and beat down as God-fearing old-timey Baptist that wants to do things for God, amen, I tell you, we can still lean on the promises that God is with us. And He loves us and cares for us. Amen? I'm a hurrying. We are unfeigned face endowment. Unfeigned face evidence. Verse 3. Said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. Notice that. Whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. See, unfeigned faith was evidence in both Paul and Timothy. People may or may not have agreed with them, but may not even like them. But they could not deny what they saw in Timothy and Paul. What do people see in you? Your pastor could stand up here and tell you what he sees in you Sunday night, Wednesday night. But I'm not talking about within the four walls of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I'm talking about at home. I'm talking about at work. I've said this a lot here lately, and I don't know why God laid it on my heart so much, but what you are at home is what you really are right here this morning. See, what you are right here this morning is putting on Christianity is a lot of times just a veil, Brother Wynn. See, I'm sure if your children got up here and truly spoke out about how you act at home, many of us would be embarrassed to death. Because at home, that is where we can just be ourselves, Brother Dale. It would be interesting if we really focused on our home life instead of how the public perceived us. I believe we'd make a bigger difference in this world. Amen. You see, when our children look at us and they truly saw us as one that got on our knees in hard times and got up on the mountainside and prayed, Brother Dale, and we got in our prayer closet when troubles come, and our daddies actually bowed their head with their children at the table and prayed before the meal, they'd see a difference in this world. But see, most of the time we stay here at church, we'll amen the preacher. Yes, sir, that's right, preacher. Brother Rodney, we'll go home. A lot of these men right here this morning will ask Mama to pray for the meal. Amen. God called you to be the spiritual head of the home. Your youngin's watching you. Your young son's watching you. You expect him to be the head of his home. He's watching you. Everybody's watching this, and they know what we really are. See, Paul and Timothy stood out. People knew them, and they saw something in them. They saw God in them. What does people see in you? Most importantly, what does your children see in you? What does your wife see in you? If we could change the home, we could change America.
That's right. Amen.
I truly believe that today with all my heart. And I'm told I could go preachers as well. Preachers stand up and proclaim the gospel in the pulpits and then go out and run around with all kinds of women and do all kinds of stuff today. The world's watching. What a testimony that is for a lost world to see. Well, what them preachers is preaching false. There's no difference in them. There's no change in them. Why should we want that? Unfeigned faith. If we truly ask God for it, I believe He'd give it to us. I'm talking about letting Him change us from the inside. Unfeigned faith. You see, who we are and what we stand for should be evidenced in allowing our good works to so shine here in Watauga County. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church could turn Watauga County on its upside down and shake it if everybody in this church truly exercised that unfeigned faith and let this county see there is a difference in you. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying it don't take. I mean, Paul shook the world everywhere he went. Matter of fact, I remember reading over there about where that religious crowd came looking for. Where is that one that came and turned our world upside down? One person turned the world upside down. I believe one church could change a county. One church, if everybody got one heart, one mind, one accord. Unfeigned faith. Unfeigned. Then we see unfeigned face encouragement. Verse number 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. You see, Paul's faith was found by Timothy to be one worth following. Is your faith worth following this morning? Is your faith truly what the Bible speaks of as faith? Sure, I'm sure this morning that Timothy loved the Apostle Paul. I believe he loved him with all of his heart. And he found joy in Paul's presence. You see, they were fellow soldiers. They were co-laborers, brothers in Christ, and best friends. Timothy's faith was found by Paul to be a great blessing, a source of joy. You know, Brother Wynn, he and I can feed off each other's faith. We can see the work that the Lord's doing through him. He can see the work the Lord's doing through me. And that faith, that unfeigned faith, can bring joy one to another and be an encouragement and pick each other up. See, I believe a lot of times, Brother Wynn, that the problem is that when we see a brother doing well in the Lord, many times it really reflects what we're not doing for the Lord. Then we get mad. And that causes division between one another. Yeah. It's not for me to get jealous, Brother Wynn, Brother Greg Thompson, or any of these other pastors. We're co-laborers. We're brothers in Christ. When God's blessing them and when God's blessing me, we can feed off each other. Well, that's the way we ought to be. When you're doing well, we ought to feed off one another. Amen? Amen? When you see a brother and sister in Christ being blessed of God, don't go home and gossip. Well, did you see what they're driving? Pray for them. Amen? Praise God that God's blessing them. Because I'm sure you'd want them to bless you when you pulled up in your Cadillac. Brother Wayne went, yeah. No, what I'm saying is we feed off one another. Brother Timothy and Paul, they were feeding off one another. It brought great joy to their soul. There's little joy in the house of God today, amen? You don't believe me, you go to a ball game. Y'all have heard that little scenario over and over. I mean, church today is about like a cemetery, really. We're just not happy. It's dead. And the people comes in, the youngins, the lost people comes in, our young people, they've had a big Saturday night, they've been out roller skating, or they've been to a ball game, or this, and they've seen people shout, and they've shouted themselves, and we come into church, and we talk about great faith, and we talk about a great salvation, and a great God, and everybody's sitting there. How are we going to change the world? How are we going to feed off of each other? You know what we're feeding off of? We are feeding off each other. There's no excitement. I believe it's not in emotion, but I believe every now and then it would be good for us to show a little of excitement of what we have in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I promise you, if any of you's got a check in the mail and it was $560 million, you'd do a lap around your house. Several, he said. Amen. And now I promise you, when you come in that Sunday and you tithe your 10% off of it, everybody'd laugh at church. Boy, talk trouble. I'd be praying for you then, brother. But we'd get excited about that. And you see, we expect the world to feed off of us. When we're not excited about what we have in the Lord, how do you expect anybody else to be? How do you expect to win a lost person to the Lord if you don't really act like you love and believe what you've got? But I'm telling you, the best testimony I ever seen came from an older man. He stood up, Brother Wynn, and his lip was a shaking. And there's this old big crocodile tear come out and just fell off his face. And he sat back down. Oh, God, that place come apart. There's something about sharing with people your emotion, your joy in the Lord. It's encouragement to people greatly desiring to see thee. There's some people in my ministry I've been pastoring off known for 11 years. They were some people I just quit asking how they were. Hey, some people I just tried to avoid in the church. Why? They never were happy about nothing. Always down on something. And I'm going to tell you, that will strip you of your joy. You affect other people when you're that way. When you ask somebody how they're doing and they go through a long list of 40 aches and pains and their youngins and their dogs got rotten teeth and the cats are dying and everything, I'm telling you, it drags you down. But when you ask somebody how they're doing, say, oh, God's blessed me. There's just something about that that just excites you. Excites you. Encouragement. We can be encouraging with unfeigned faith and not even know it. Then we have, and I'm almost done, unfeigned faith establishment. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You know, we don't know much about Timothy's father, other than he was a Greek. Nothing said about him, so since the father has an important place in child rearing or development or however you want to call it today, I could say without a shadow of a doubt here, Timothy's father was probably non-factor in Timothy's life. Amen? But we know that we could look at the marriage on that and know that it was probably unequally yoked to begin with, him being Greek and her a Jewess. We could look at all these factors and try to rationalize it out, but if God wants us to know, we have it in His Word. But He did give us two women that had an effect in Timothy's life, by the name of Lois and Eunice. Both of these women had the same unfeigned faith that was later found in Timothy. It was passed on. And I guess throughout this whole message, I sort of think you can see the theme and sort of where it's going and the direction God's taking this is people are watching us and it's up to you and I to pass along our faith to the younger generation, because if we don't have faith in God, they won't have faith in God, and our children won't have faith in God. Our churches won't have faith in God. We're bringing up a generation today that is slowly walking away from God. You got some missionaries that's trying to reach these young people. Keep up the work, because I'm going to tell you, Mama, Daddy's lacking. I thank God that God has burdened some people to go and reach the young people. Amen? Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, mama and daddy is really lacking in this area. I will say this one thing, and you take it for what it's worth. It's not the school's responsibility to teach my youngin' how to pray. Amen. I get so tired of hearing about that. That is mama and daddy's job. Pray with your youngin' at home. Bow your head with them before they get on the school bus or before you drop them off at the front door of the school. See, Timothy had an example in his life. Amen. Lois and Eunice. And they affected Timothy. And that the effect they had on Timothy showed forth in his ministry later. And I'm going to tell you something. How we are bringing up our children and Brother Wynn, how we're trying to shepherd our flocks. I believe it all goes hand in hand. Our unfeigned faith can rub off on other people and make a difference down the road. Amen. It's easy to throw the towel in and quit. Amen? Easy to throw the towel in and quit. I thought about it. Last month, I thought about just quitting. Brother Dale, it was a whole lot easier when I sit on a bar stool. When I got back out in the world, you know, the world accepted me. The world welcomed me right in. The meanest people I've ever dealt with is Christian people. Brother Wynn, I couldn't understand. I've thought many times, why in the world? Man, this ain't worth it. I'm just going to give up. I'm just going back to the house. The people's watching. But it ain't just them watching. My son's watching. God's watching me. God's watching you. Amen? God's blessed me. If I throwed in the towel now, what would that show God? That I was just in this thing for His blessings? That I was just in it so that I might have my ticket punched to heaven? Hey, I'm in this thing for the long haul. I'm in it because I love God, because He first loved me. It made a difference in my life. Dale, the more I wanted, I'd pick on Dale because Dale's sitting right here on the front. I tell him, Brother Wynn, Dale, he looks the same he did 20 years ago. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Ain't changed at all. But you see, Brother Wynn, I couldn't give in. I couldn't give in. Every time I wanted to quit, God would say, Dwayne, you remember what I brought you from? What I brought you through? You know when they told you your son would never walk again? You know when I was there with you when you bowed your head in that doctor's office, you and your wife, and you went to praying? And how I blessed your son, and oh, how he does all that kung fu and all of that junk now. They said he'd never walk, he'd never run. But Dwayne, I blessed him. But Dwayne, most of all, I love you. Yeah. Dale, I can't quit. He won't let me quit. The more I tried, the harder he beat on me. Boy, my faith just started welling up. And boy, I feel better today than I've ever felt in my life. My faith is stronger in God because greater is He that liveth in me than he that is in the world. God is good and God is there to help us if we'll let Him. He just wanted to help some of you here this morning. I'm not just here to blow off a little air and read a few words. I'm kind of here to share with you what God's laid on my heart so that you can leave here with more faith than you came in here with. It's what it's about, amen? Brother Wynn, every time we go to church, it ought to change our lives. Amen. We ought to leave a better person than we came in. Amen? As far as I know, we ain't reached the other side yet. I ain't as good as it's going to get yet, amen? Every day is a learning process. We never quit learning. That's why we keep reading. That's why we keep studying. That's why we keep praying one for another. We're in this thing for the long haul. And it's going to take faith to get us there. Unfeigned faith. So we see that two women made a big difference, Lois and Eunice, in his life. They taught him diligently the Scriptures. Read the Bible with your youngins. Read the Bible with your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. It make a difference, amen? 6 and I'm done. Unfeigned face ensuing. He said, I am persuaded. Verse 5, last part. And I am persuaded that in thee also. See, faith is a choice. Timothy one day chose to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ for his salvation. Amen. We know that. And was born again. And as important as that is, I believe one that was just as important was the choice of life. Amen. Of eternal life. And I'm glad that one day I chose eternal life. I'm glad that it made a difference in me. But listen, faith is a choice too. You see, God will give us a measure of faith to believe. But every day that faith grows. And I can either put my faith in God or I can put my faith in man. I made a choice. Just as Timothy did. He put his faith in what Paul taught him. What he knew through the Word of God. And you know, we go over in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Many use that as the definition of faith, but that's really not a definition of faith. It's actually what faith does in reality. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do you hope for? What are you putting your faith in? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. My hope does not lie in Brother Wayne Greer. My hope lies in God. My hope lies in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the substance of the things hoped for. And all of that hope made a change, and it's evident in the things you do. People are watching it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and what? The evidence of things not seen. What is that, Brother Wynn? The evidence of things not seen. If you were not a Christian, and I were the only Christian you saw, my life would be evident of things you hadn't seen. Does that make any sense? You see how you walk with God. I've not seen God in as far as with my eyes. I've not seen Jesus with my eyes. So I'm putting my faith and my hope and my trust in what I've heard from that blessed book, what the Holy Spirit has done in my heart and in my soul, drawing me to God. And how that has changed my life has brought forth evidence of things not seen. It's going to bring us forth into doing better things, good works. I'm not into works of salvation, but I believe that we will work for God. I believe it will cause you want to do things for God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How about your faith today? Do you have that unfeigned faith? Would you like to have it? Would you like God to help you get more of it? You can today. I believe just as God gave me enough. When I was a 10-year-old boy sitting right here, you know that the only thing, Brother Dale, I worried about that night when I come in here is whether I was going to get here and beat Barney Arnett to this Ian Pew. The only thing I had. I didn't really know what this preacher was preaching about. I just know he was loud. And I just like to sit here and watch these old preachers preach. But something happened that night. See, all them other nights, I didn't have enough faith in what he's preaching. Something happened that night and God gave me a little faith. Gave me a little faith that if I could get down there, like that preacher was telling me, and receive Jesus Christ into my heart, that I'd be born again. If I'd confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But you know something? God gave me that faith. He'll give you a measure of faith. And I believe once he gives it to you, he'll add to it. And he'll continue to add to it. And I believe I saved, not when I got down there, but when I started. that faith entered. The rest of it is just formality. See, God can build some of your all's faith today. More than you came in with. And I'm done. Every head bowed and every eye closed.